In the Alpha Beta parking lot, watching the sunset. I'll never forget watching all the reds and oranges slip away, letting go of yet another dirty day.
You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM KVEC. Matt Hoy in for Dave Congleton. If you want to find out what we're talking about, I've got show notes up at hoystory.com, including a couple articles I wanted to talk with Stephen Gutowski of the Washington Free Beacon. Stephen, thanks for coming on the show. Let's try that again. Stephen, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay. Stephen, you are the kind of gun writer for the Washington Free Beacon. There aren't too many kind of people whose beat is mostly or solely guns. Can you give us a little bit of background on your professional history?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been at the Free Beacon for about 4 years now, and I focus on firearms policy and politics there. Mostly national level stuff, but sometimes I'll also write about state level stories if they're important enough. And it really is something that's underappreciated in our industry, because there really aren't that many gun beat reporters. The Free Beacon, we like to have beat reporters. We have people focus on specific issues so they can, understand the issue that they're reporting about. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a very simple concept, but so that's what I do with guns, and you really don't see a lot of that out there, and so I try to fill that void as best I can.
So you mainly focus on national stuff, but the past couple of past week or two, you've gotten a couple that focus on California. I'd like to kind of talk about those. Mm-hmm. The first one was, tell us what's been happening with the level of gun ownership in California over the past decade.
Yeah, there's been some pretty fascinating stats that have been published within the last week or so by the California Attorney General on gun ownership within the state. And essentially, what the numbers show is that the ownership rate there has really skyrocketed. The number of people who own firearms in California between 2008 and 2018 increased by 171%, which is a truly impressive rate of increase, as I'm sure everybody understands. But, and these are numbers that come from... they're not from surveys, telephone surveys, which is what we mostly rely on for sort of gun ownership stats. But in California, obviously, one byproduct of some of these very strict laws that they have is they have a sort of more comprehensive system for tracking.
We have a gun registry. Ownership. We have a gun registry in California.
Right. I mean, a partial registry of. Certain guns need to be registered, but beyond that, gun dealers have to report all their sales essentially to the state government. And so the combination of those two things is where this data comes from. And so it's fairly comprehensive compared to what most states have. Obviously now there's plenty of debate over whether or not that system is ideal, but mm-hmm. One of the byproducts is this data, which shows this huge increase in gun ownership, despite California almost yearly, as I'm sure you guys know, passing new gun restrictions. So that's a pretty interesting result.
Yeah, it seems to be like a lot of things when the government tells you you can't have it or you won't be able to buy it next week, that everyone rushes out to buy it. What, as far as like a percentage of the state population, about what percent do they estimate people in the state own a gun, and how does that compare to most other states?
Yeah, so another interesting thing is that California now, based on these numbers, at least mm-hmm. is about 8% ownership rate among adults in the state, and that's really low comparatively. Now we're comparing different ways of measuring this, but,
right.
Generally speaking, Gallup, Pew, NBC, Wall Street Journal polls on the national level have found the gun ownership rate, the rate of people who specifically say that they own a gun, is somewhere in the 30% range. And then the number of people who say there's a gun in their home, so somebody in their home owns a gun, is somewhere between 40 and 50%. So obviously 8% is much lower than that. Now, I think it's important to note, too, that the experts we spoke with and some of the leaders in the gun community in California, they said that it's probably still undercounting the California system.
Mm-hmm.
As much data as they collect there, it's likely that there's plenty more people who own guns in California than what gets caught up in this tracking system.
Right.
So that's important to note, too.
Yeah, one thing to note, I'm not sure exactly of the years, but I believe the state of California has basically been keeping a gun registry of handguns for a little over a decade, which probably includes everything in that report that you referenced. But as far as long guns, they did not keep track of long guns until I think about 2014. So if you had purchased a long gun before 2014, meaning a rifle or a shotgun, you would not show up as owning a gun in this report. So
it depends. That's true for registration, but this report also includes those dealership records, and they've been tracking handguns and long guns for a lot longer than the registration systems were out. So it should show some record of a sale. Although it's not exactly clear, whether or not everything really gets caught up. In theory, it probably should, because California, has a mm-hmm. universal background check system. So every sale is supposed to go through, a dealer in some form. Now we know that that's not really how it works in real life.
Right.
Ashton
Kutcher
who don't
told us about that, didn't he? Didn't Ashton Kutcher say something about that a few months back?
Yes. He admitted to illegally buying a gun in California.
Yeah.
And I guess he didn't realize what he was trying to say.
And unlike some other Hollywood actors, he is not currently under indictment.
No, he's not.
Okay. We are talking gun laws and some new reports here out of California with Stephen Gutowski, staff writer for the Washington Free Beacon. We'll be back after this message. You're listening to the Dave Conklin Show on News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC. Listening to the Dave Conklin Show on News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave Conklin. We're talking with Stephen Gutowski, the gun beat writer for the Washington Free Beacon. And just for your information, Steve, if you ever need someone to do photography or take video next time you're at SHOT Show, drop me a line, because I'd love to come out there and see all the toys I can't have here in California.
Yeah, there's a long list of a long waiting list for that job.
Well, add my name to the bottom, even if it's 10 years out, I'm sure I'd still love to do it. So, the other kind of California-based report that you wrote about was about the APPS system here in California. Can you give people kind of an overview of what that is and why it was in the news?
Yeah, so APPS is actually it's the same system that gives you the count of known gun owners in California. The reason that they have that count is because they check that database against people who have become prohibited persons since they purchased the firearm, essentially. And so, you know, if you commit some sort of felony or domestic violence misdemeanor, or you have some sort of restraining order issued against you that makes you prohibited in California, they are supposed to go through and automatically check your name against the record of people that own firearms in the state. And then if you match, the idea is they will send someone to, they'll send law enforcement to confiscate your firearm or you know, make sure that you've legally transferred it to somebody else or sold it or whatever the case might be. And so California has had, it's the only state that has this sort of system in place, but the problem that they've been facing is, you know, they've had huge backlogs inside of this system for years, and now it's actually at a record level of, I believe it's 23,000 people that California believes illegally possesses a gun, and they aren't really clearing that backlog efficiently.
So the state of California, the Attorney General of the state of California, has a list of 23,000 plus people in this state who they believe have a gun and don't and shouldn't.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And they are doing what to get that number down?
Well, they have a police force that's specifically dedicated to this. And so the solution is that they're sending these people out to collect these firearms or at least investigate whether or not somebody actually is. This is sort of like their best guess, is that this person maybe has an illegal firearm. However, that police force has, that's, you know, specific to this program, is they managed to confiscate about 1,200 firearms last year. So as you can see, that's really not a large amount in you know, terms of how many people are still on this list.
Mm-hmm.
They cleared about 10,000 about 10,000 names from the list, but the vast majority of those people who were cleared from the list dropped off because they're no longer prohibited. Essentially, basically, it's like the problem solved itself. In other words.
Okay, so
my guess is that's people who had some sort of temporary restraining order that made them prohibited for a period of time, and then that restraining order lapsed, and so they're no longer prohibited, and so they can keep their guns legally.
Yeah, and I know with that system too, that there have been reports in California and cases where they've been mistaken as to whether, you know, they think the person's prohibited, but then they go and they look at the case against them, and it was a minor marijuana possession case from 30 years ago, which is no longer which is not disqualifying anymore, but they right. went after the guy and took all his guns and then they had to give them back. So, but if this is the, you know, and you mentioned more people in your earlier story, you know, the number of gun owners in California almost doubling. Over that same period of time, what was just the general kind of crime rate, violent crime rate here in California? What was happening with that? Because I know a constant refrain I hear is more guns equal more crime. So it must. So if people doubled, number of people with guns almost doubled, it should be the Wild West down here again, right?
Yeah, well, under that logic, I suppose that would be the conclusion that you would draw from it. But no, certainly, I mean, violent crime is down actually throughout the entire country over that period of time, the last decade, and is down significantly from, you know, the 80s and 90s. And it actually just dropped. We just had a FBI report, the Uniform Crime Report came out, the preliminary one for 2018, just recently, actually just wrote about it. And in there, they're comparing the first 6 months of 2018 with the first 6 months of 2017. And pretty much all crime is down across the board. Violent crime, property crime, some of it's down double digits. I mean, robberies are down double digits. So crime right now in the United States is at or near all-time lows.
Wow. So so more guns don't equal more crime. Okay, we'll have to remember that one for our next debate. So let's step back from California for a moment. You said you mainly focus on the national level. So what's been happening now the Democrats are taking control of the House? What have they been doing up there in Washington as far as gun control bills go?
Yeah, so there have been two major gun control bills that have passed through the House of Representatives since Democrats retook control. There was the Universal Background Check bill, which would essentially outlaw private sales without, you know, without a background check, without having to go to a gun dealer.
Which is already the law here in California.
Right, which is similar to the system in California, but it would be on a national level.
Okay.
And then they had a second bill that was also along the same lines of extending, I believe it was domestic violence punishments. But essentially, these are two bills that have passed the House. They're on to the Senate. There really is no chance, as things stand now, that they'll pass.
They won't get out of the
moment,
Senate.
Yeah, they're not going to. They're almost certainly not going to get a vote in the Senate. And so, even if they did get a vote, they probably wouldn't pass. You know, we did have a vote in the Senate on universal background checks back in 2012 when Democrats controlled the Senate, and that also didn't pass when the ground was sort of more favorable to that kind of legislation. So, I'm sorry. The second bill actually was about something called the Charleston loophole that you guys, your audience may have heard of, which is this idea that the FBI right now has 3 days, they can delay a gun purchase for 3 days to further investigate the person trying to purchase the gun. And then after that point, if they don't have a conclusion, the sale can proceed. And so this bill would extend that from 3 days to 10 days. It's sort of a misunderstanding of what happened in Charleston, because the FBI, the problem there wasn't the length of time they had to investigate. Yeah. The problem was that they messed up investigation.
Stephen Gutowski, you can read him at the Washington Free Beacon. Thanks for coming on. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920. AM 96.5 FM KVEC. Show. Matt Hoy sitting in for Dave. Dave will be back hopefully Monday. We've got with us for this next half hour Dave Glidden. He is the first vice commander of the Post 66 San Luis Obispo American Legion Post.
That's right.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
What you've got something coming up this Friday. Tell us about it.
Well, we have a lot of activities planned, but the 15th of March is a pretty big day in the American Legion. We'll be celebrating our 100th year. We're going to have a spaghetti dinner. We intend to feed every veteran in San Luis Obispo free of charge. That's a little frightening because we don't know how many people are going to show up, but we're planning on a good turnout. We have all our post members are going to be there serving, and it's a new adventure for us, serving free meals to veterans. We've provided free meals for years to homeless veterans, but never to every veteran that walked through the door. And we've invited the people from the National Guard at Camp San Luis and Camp Roberts. We've invited the Coast Guard from Morro Bay, plus all the veterans that we know are out there, which in San Luis Obispo was about 7,000 It's a really shocking number when you realize there's that many people in San Luis that have served in the military. But it'll be 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock at the Veterans Memorial Building. We're using the big hall rather than our post because we don't expect it to be a pretty good turnout, and we don't expect to be able to fit that many people in our post.
So if a veteran's bringing a significant other who is not a veteran, what's...
We do charge for that. That's how we're going to hopefully cover part of the cost. We're going to charge $10 for anybody who is not a veteran. It's open to everybody. If you don't have to be a veteran to show up. We have some guests we know are coming who have no tie at all to the military, but they've worked with the American Legion time to time. We do a lot of things in the community. We're pretty busy. So that's kind of our starting point.
So Friday, 5 to 7 p.m., what's the address for the...
It's 1661 Mill Street is the American Legion, but the Veterans Memorial Building is the big building in front of us.
Okay.
Everybody knows it because there's a tank out front.
It's the one with the tank up front just down the street from Cal Poly.
There. Yeah.
Okay. And so it's $10 for...
Non-veterans,
general public. If you are a veteran or an active duty military.
Or a retiree or somebody who served.
Okay.
It's free.
It's free.
Now, we do have a few requirements to prove you're a veteran. We're accepting military ID cards from National Guard, Reserves, active duty, retiree National Guard, military. So if you have a retiree card, you're welcome. We're also accepting VA medical cards. That's going to be the majority of people in the town that aren't members of our post. American Legion members who aren't necessarily members of our post will show up also. And we'll accept ID cards from any veterans organization, the DAV, the VVA, I guess I should say Disabled American Veterans and the Veterans of Vietnam.
If they don't know what it is, then they're probably not veterans.
They don't have.
They probably don't qualify for the free dinner.
Now, what if I thought really hard about joining the Marines for about 10 minutes? Would that count?
With $10.
Okay. That $10 so would be a meal.
So intensely thinking for 10 minutes plus $10, I'm in.
You're in.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of what our plan is. This has been a year of celebration for us all the way through. We started... Actually, early in January, we started planning all of our activities. We've done a lot of things we've never done before. We're going to be doing public service announcements on television, and we're using the San Luis Obispo High School Film Club to produce those for us.
Oh, great.
And we're sponsoring them and paying for it. And that's something new for us we haven't done before. Our scholarship program, we've always done. Yesterday, I was interviewing at Pacific Beach High School, and we found a young lady who is fantastic, and she's going to get one of our $1,000 scholarships.
Wow.
To continue her education. Hopefully, she follows through, and she becomes an oncologist, because that's her goal.
So, and these scholarships are open to any students on the Central Coast, or do they have to be a son or daughter or something?
No. We ask that they have a veteran tie-in of some kind. But we give one scholarship to a student in Morro Bay, one in Pacific Beach High School, one in Mission Prep, and one in San Luis High. So there's four scholarships for high school students. We also give scholarships for Cuesta College Nursing and the ROTC program. And we didn't have an application this year, but we also used to give one for the automotive arts at Cuesta.
Oh, okay.
So we give away about $4,500 in scholarships every year for that program, and then we have additional scholarships throughout the year because we pay $500 to the winners of the Boy State, Girl State program.
Okay.
And they do a public speaking exercise on the 9/11 ceremony at the firehouse.
Okay.
That's one of our other programs that we do, and we've already done this year.
So if general public would like to contribute to these scholarship programs or whatnot, who would they contact about, just wanting to help out what the American Legion's doing?
We do accept donations, and the easiest way to do it is write a check and send it to 1661 Mill Street. That's the American Legion Post 66.
Okay. Sounds good. What else you got going on?
Well, we have some really big plans going on, but I think I'll tell you, I'm finding out wandering around the community that a lot of people don't know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in San Luis Obispo for 100 years. Our post started in September 25th of 1919. Our first post members met at the parish hall at the Mission Church, mm-hmm. and they were there for a number of years. They were instrumental in getting the memorial building, Veterans Memorial Building, built in 1950. Mm-hmm. That's a really fascinating building. The county, it was county property, and they bought the property and gave it to the American Legion, and we raised the funds to build the building. I wish we could build another building for $280,000, but that's not going to happen. but all the brick came, as a matter of fact, from right over off of Broad Street, because the brick factory was located right there, just across the street from where I grew up. We are planning a big celebration for our post in September, but the only other big things going on right now is our other annual programs, the scholarship program. We've already selected our Boy State and Girl State winners. This is a program that teaches high school students from, again, the three high schools, Mission Prep, San Luis Obispo, and Morro Bay. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, Pacific Beach has never been included in that. It's 1 week summer camp. They go to Sacramento. They learn about the government. They create a government. They get elected governor and representatives and councilmen and everything else. They create their own government from scratch. They make their own agenda, their own platforms, and they learn everything there is. Most of the kids that go have a vague idea it's about government. They all come back and go, I never expected to work 70 hours in a week. They were up at dawn and they're working until late at night every night.
Well, that's impressive. I remember applying for that when I was in high school, and I didn't get it. But yeah, I'm not. Call me a cynic. I'm not sure how much you want kids, you know, understanding exactly how government really works.
Yeah, sometimes that's a little intimidating.
How much grift was there?
Well, we've had some really outstanding representatives from San Luis Obispo represent our Boy State and American Legion mm-hmm. post, to the extent that we've even had the governor of Boy State selected from our students. They come back and they all say the same thing. It was the most life-changing experience they've ever had.
Wow.
They come back really motivated and focused on the future, and they have an idea that hard work is required to accomplish things. And yeah, that's kind of an eye-opener.
I'd say it is. So question, do you confiscate their cell phones before they go on?
No, we don't. As a matter of fact, I think if the kids lost their cell phones, they wouldn't get half as much done because they text message, which mm-hmm. my fingers don't work that way. And there's a few other things that we have gotten involved with. Just recently, during the shutdown of the government, mm-hmm. The local post supported the Coast Guard out at Morro Bay. We did $1,500 grants to every family member or every Coast Guard, a Coastie who had a family.
Because they were not, unlike
they were not
the regular
paid.
Military, I don't want to say regular military.
Yeah. They,
unlike the other branches, for whatever reason in the budgeting process, the Coast Guard was not deemed, what do they call it, necessary.
Well, it wasn't that they weren't necessary. The Coast Guard falls under the Department of Transportation. It doesn't fall under the DOJ, DOD.
DOD, Department of Defense, right.
So, yeah, they had no pay for those poor guys.
Okay. We're talking with Dave Glidden, American Legion Post 66, San Luis Obispo, California. This is the Dave Congleton Show, 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show, News Talk 920 AM, 96.5 FM, KVEC. Matt Hoy standing in for Dave Congleton. We're talking with Dave Glidden, first vice commander of the San Luis Obispo American Legion Post 66. They've got a Spaghetti dinner coming up Friday, 5 to 7 in the American Legion Hall. Free for veterans. $10 for people who thought about it for 10 minutes and then decided not to enter the military.
Hey, I'm practically military. Yeah, that was a good 10 minutes.
That was a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then I heard that they yell at you in the military. I was like, oh,
yeah,
no, never mind.
Yeah, well, and then you got into radio where they yell at you. So not quite the same.
No, they just fire you.
So, Dave, talk to us a little bit about the history of the American Legion and what your guys are doing as far as membership goes.
Yeah, we're a pretty well-kept secret, finding in the community. But the American Legion was begun in March 15th of 1919, which is interesting because it was begun in Paris, France. Hmm. It was basically something to do while they waited for the boat home. because they were there from November 11th, when the war ended a year before, until March. And they created the American Legion. It's the only organization that's chartered by the United States Congress. It creates some problems for us because when we want to change the rules, we have to ask Congress to do it. And we are right now in the process of trying to get Congress to change the rules. We want to allow every veteran to join, not just veterans of foreign conflicts.
Mm, okay.
Which brings me to our next problem. We need new members. We have a lot of older members, and we have an image that we're a bunch of old guys that sit around and drink beer, tell war stories, and smoke cigars. We're a whole lot more than that.
Hold on. I'm signing up. Because so far it
sounds like... You have to have been in the military, not just thinking about it for 10 minutes.
Well, okay, just come over to my garage. We'll just do the same thing.
But, yeah, it's we're a growing institution. We have over 2 million members of the American Legion and 5,400 posts throughout the country. But we need new members. There are a lot of people who qualify to be in it. Vietnam veterans don't have to have served in combat to be a Vietnam-era veteran. Anyone who served since 9/11 is eligible to join the American Legion. These are the people that we're not reaching. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they just don't think they belong, but they really do. There are some other posts in the country that are doing fantastic things with their young membership, and we want to do some of those things ourselves, such as community outreach, helping the community beautification projects and things like that. So that's kind of our focus, is getting new members in. It's really easy to join. Bring a DD-214. Every veteran knows what that is. Mm-hmm. And show us your records, and we will sign you up. There's a $45 membership fee. That goes to getting your magazine, national lobbying for Congress.
Okay.
And the lobbying efforts have been very successful over the last 100 years.
What sort of things has the American Legion done with lobbying Congress and providing kind of benefits for veterans?
Yeah, the first one was in 1944. They created the GI Bill.
Okay.
The GI Bill was the most successful educational program that the government has ever run. 8 million service members got a college degree with help from the GI Bill. Mm-hmm. These are people that probably never would have been able to afford college back in the 40s and 50s. They've also created the Veterans Administration, a huge organization that provides medical care, disability payments, and does research. More recently, we've been involved in the research on Agent Orange. It was the American Legion that funded independent research on Agent Orange exposure.
Explain for our younger listeners maybe what Agent Orange was used for and what you later found out about it.
Yeah, Agent Orange was a defoliant that was sprayed over the jungle to reduce cover for Vietnamese soldiers, trying to make it easier for us to see them from helicopters. It is a product that is similar to Roundup. The difference was that it was made in undiluted form, not like you get at Home Depot. Mm-hmm. Put in 55-gallon drums, it was supposed to be diluted five parts to one water to the foliant.
Five-part water to one part Agent Orange.
Okay. Right. Unfortunately, soldiers are lazy. So they took the 55-gallon drums, they loaded it in the helicopters, and they sprayed it undiluted, right on the jungle. It is a fat-soluble chemical that causes birth defects. It's tremendously damaging.
They,
to
they
human
didn't.
Life.
They didn't clear people out of the jungle when they were spraying.
No, this. And the other problem is it's a chemical that stays in the environment. Even though it dries, it's still on the leaves. It's still in the creeks. It's still in the water. So much so that the streams ran off into Cameron Bay and the ocean, and sailors who were on board ships. Mm-hmm. This has just recently happened. The Blue Water Navy has now been put on the Agent Orange registry as having been exposed. Wow. If they were in the China Sea, South China Sea, in the areas around Vietnam, because it affects a number of things. It affects me a little bit. I was exposed to it. It destroys your thyroid, does liver damage, causes pancreatic cancer, lymphoma. All of those are presumed disabling effects yeah. of Agent Orange exposure. So even though the Vietnam veterans, most of us have been home for almost 50 years, we're still fighting the war because Agent Orange doesn't leave you. It's a fat-soluble product, and then once it gets into your system, it stays in your fat cells for life. Mm. The VA did not want to accept that it was a bad thing. And the American
right, because it would have cost money.
It costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's cost between DuPont and the American government, they've probably spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion mm-hmm. in disability payments and medical care and everything else. It's hugely expensive. It's not used anymore by anybody in the military.
Right.
But there are still horror stories from Vietnam vets standing on a runway and seeing orange spots all over their skin where it was being sprayed out of a helicopter or plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real big problem. The other thing that was created was the flag code. Most people know you're not supposed to drop a flag on the ground. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that you're supposed to illuminate a flag if you leave it up overnight.
Right.
It's supposed to have lights on it. That was created by the American Legion. And in 1989, it was made law by the Congress of the United States.
What's the punishment for violating it?
I have no
idea.
If
I don't like my neighbor and he leaves his flag up and not illuminated, what sort of trouble can I get?
You could make trouble for him by contacting the American really? Legion, and we'll send out and we'll counsel him on why he should have a light on there. We have people in the American Legion who ride around with nothing to do except tell people they're not displaying the flag correctly, or that it needs to be replaced.
Yeah, that's one. Do you guys take care of that? Is there some place people can drop off flags?
Yes,
if they
there
are
is.
Kind of past their due date.
We have a blue box right out in front of our post that is a depository for flags that have worn out.
Okay.
Because there is a ceremony for disposing of flags, and we do that once a year.
Okay.
Yeah, that was happened to be an Eagle Scout project from one of the Boy Scouts that we sponsor here in San Luis Obispo.
Okay, we've got a caller with a question.
But not a call, it's a text that just came in.
Okay.
On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, they're asking about the Sons of the American Legion. Can you explain something about that?
Yeah, so we have...
Go ahead.
30 seconds?
1 minute.
One minute.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we have additional groups that are affiliated with the American Legion. We have the Sons of the American Legion, which is open to anyone whose father, uncle, brother, whoever served in the military. They can join the Sons of the American Legion. It's a support organization that helps us out with some of our projects. They're a wonderful group of people. We also have the Ladies Auxiliary. The Ladies Auxiliary is the program that began about the same time as the American Legion. It was the moms and the wives of returning veterans who created an organization. They've been just as active as we have for all this time. And we have a last group, which is probably the noisiest group we have, and that's the American Legion Riders. People see them all the time. They're the guys on the motorcycles with the leather jackets riding up and down the road. But they do honor guard work for funerals. They ride parades and everything else.
Wrap it up one last time, plug what's happening this Friday and how people can get there and what it costs.
Okay, it'll be a spaghetti dinner with all the fixings at 5 to 7 o'clock at the Veterans Memorial Hall on Grand Avenue. Free for veterans. If you can prove you served in the military, you're free. Everybody else will be $10. Everybody's invited.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the Dave Collins Show. We've been on with Dave Glidden, American Legion, Post 66, celebrating 100 years this year. If you've got a hankering for some spaghetti Friday night, get out to the Memorial Hall. Get yourself some spaghetti. This has been the Dave Collins Show, KVEC News Talk, 920 AM, 96.5 FM. We'll be back after this.